We come not because we are worthy, but because you've called us and have provided for us. Thank you for Jesus, who has given his life and that you gave him for us, that we might come. Accept our worship and our gifts and our praise. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
Easy. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In the scripture reading, it says Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. When Jesus came to this world as a baby, did he already have a character?
Absolutely.
He had to develop the character that he had as God. And he had to develop it in a human being. When God made Adam and Eve, he first made Adam. And Adam named all the animals. And as he was naming all the animals, something came home to him. All the animals had a companion. And he didn't have one. And God said, it's not good that man should live alone. And so he made a helpmate. The first surgery, I guess, God put Adam to sleep and took a rib. And he made a beautiful creature that Adam just fell in love with, to the point that it became Adam's downfall. Because he put Eve above God. But it was God's plan that Adam and Eve develop a loving, caring nature or character. They were instilled with a nature in that direction, but they had to develop a character. And the character is developed by repeated thoughts and actions. And so God wanted them to develop love like he had for them. And his plan in doing that was he put the two together. Oh, if you've ever been knowing men and women, and there's some difference between every individual and another individual, but men and women are just mentally and emotionally wired different. And God put the two together to learn how to adapt and to love and to express love and to get along and do the things that would make a happy home. Of course, we know the story that it didn't last too long. From my best calculations, based on the chronologies, it was probably around 30 years that they were in the garden before the fall. And Adam had developed a lot of love for Eve. In fact, as it ended up, I guess we could say an unhealthy love, because he put Eve before God. Eve was deceived, and the Bible says that Eve was deceived, but it doesn't say that about Adam. Adam knew what he was doing. And he deliberately chose Eve because he couldn't part with her. He put her above God. Well, we come to Valentine's Day. We have passed it this last week, and yeah, it's a pagan holiday and all that kind of stuff, but it never hurts us to stop and think about how we love. If we do. And hopefully we do. In Ephesians 5, Paul lays out to us the principles that God has given, beginning with verse 22. I missed my turning to the pages, and I looked at 5:22, and well, that's good, but that's not where I thought I was going. But I'm going to read verse 22 of Galatians 5. That's where I was. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Okay, now for Ephesians 5:22 is where I had planned to go. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. There's an interesting dynamic to love, and that is the more love is expressed and demonstrated, the more it grows. And the more it's reflected back. One time, I asked a man if he had done anything special for Valentine's for his wife. And he looked at me and he said, I believe in doing good things for my wife, being a good husband all the time. And I said, but didn't you do anything special? And he said, no. He says, I do it all every day. And then he said, besides, I wouldn't want her to pass out. There's a point to what he was saying, and that is, as the passage said, husbands, we should give ourselves for our wives. And that's not just on Valentine's Day. That's every day. One of the differences between men and women, another little saying that has come down through marriage counseling and so on is, husband said, when he was asked if he tells his wife that he loves her, he said, I told her that on the day we got married, and I'll let her know if I change my mind. Ladies, does that work for you? No. There needs to be an ongoing expression of love and commitment. Because it does, again, two things. It builds that in the one who expresses it, and it builds it in the one who it's being expressed to. It's a two-way street. And God wants us to develop a character like His, that is love. And unless we develop that character by expressions and acts of love and thoughtfulness and faithfulness, then we won't develop that kind of character. And so God puts us in couples. Now in today's world, there's a lot of people that are not in couples. But that was God's plan, and sin has rearranged a lot of things. But still, God knows that that's the best. That's the way He made it. And then, you know, the last verse in the chapter, verse 33, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself." Most of us have a fair amount of concern about ourselves and how things go for us. We have a self-love. But here it says we're to love our wife as we love ourselves. So really, when we reflect love to our wives, we're really loving ourselves, right? Because they twain shall be what? One. So if I love my wife, I'm really loving myself, and that's what Paul's saying. It's in those expressions, verbally and in thoughts, actions of kindness and so on, that love is expressed. And we need to do that on a daily basis. So, are there ever days that you wake up and maybe your hair is all messed up and she woke up on the wrong side of the bed and things aren't real pleasant? And so how do you act? From a personal experience and my previous life, and there was a lot of trouble. And I didn't always have a lot of feelings of love. And I would go out for a walk. And while I was out going for a walk and my head was getting cleared with the fresh air, the Lord would tell me, "You chose to love this woman. And then, yes, Lord, I did. And then, Lord, I choose to love this woman. And when I reaffirmed the choice, the feelings came back. Love is a decision. It's not just a feeling. Because if love was only a feeling, none of us would still be married. Because there are always days that just don't go right. But love is a principle where we choose to put the other one first. Which means, husbands, if our wives want, and I don't know of any woman that doesn't want to hear that their husband loves them. That is, if they still love their husband. And I'm trusting that that's the case here. They want to hear it. And they want to know it by the things that you do. Now for men, it's not as critical that we hear it. But it is nice to hear it once in a while. Men want to know by the way they're treated. And women do too. But men don't necessarily need to hear it as often if they sense it. But there's an interesting point about the last part of this verse. It says, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Not all men are respectable. But it says, let the wife be sure that she respects her husband. There's an interesting thing that back a few years when it was all the big thing, before one of our presidents kind of changed the dynamics of the working relationships, it was considered that a man in a position of authority would, women would fall for them because they were, women respected them. And a woman loves someone that she respects. And if she loses respect, she loses love. So God knows how we're wired. And he said to the men, love your wife. And he said to the wife, respect your husband. And that maintains the connection. I had a lot I wanted to do today, but we're going to do something a little different. And all those who don't have your spouse here, don't feel bad. We'll get to you in a minute. But husbands and wives, find your partner and join them. So Dean, go join Yvonne and Jim and so on. Join your spouse. What we're going to do, Cecilia, you have to set a good example. That's one of the reasons that ministers' families don't like being ministers' families sometimes. They have to set an example. What I want you to do is join your right hands. And what we're going to do is renew our vows. And that's a good thing, right? Okay, men. We're going to skip through some of this. But men, will you love her, comfort her, honor her, cherish her in sickness and in health? In prosperity or adversity, forsaking all other, keep yourself for her only as long as you both shall live. Do you so promise? I do. And ladies, it's your turn. Will you love, honor, and cherish him in sickness and in health, in prosperity or adversity? And forsaking all other, keep yourself for him only as long as you both shall live. Do you so promise? Yes. Okay. I'll let you go sit down. Before God and these witnesses, you made a commitment to renew your or you renewed your commitment to your spouse. Don't let a day go by without renewing it in your mind and in your relationship with one another. The next part of this passage that we kind of skipped over a little bit. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, So how do we get our lives washed? The water of what? By the water, by the word. The psalmist says, "Thy word is a light unto my feet, a light unto my path, and a light." I'm getting it twisted around. A light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. The Bible, and we believe as a church, the spirit of prophecy, are God's guidance to us. Now, the Bible is the norm of faith. But the spirit of prophecy helps us to see the details that we tend to miss in the Bible. It's not there to add new light. It's there to enlighten what is already there, to help us see it more clearly. So it's by the word that our lives are to be washed with the water. Verse 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Verse 30, for we are members. Well, let's back to verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. So the Lord nourishes us. He cherishes us. He gave his life for us. And he does everything that he can to nourish, to cherish, to uplift us. Sometimes people say it's harder to be lost than to be saved, and in that sense it is. Because the Holy Spirit keeps prompting us by the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said to Saul, who became Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. We have to keep saying no to the Holy Spirit in order to be lost, but our nature wants to go that direction. Against the Holy Spirit. And the only way that we can be saved is allow the Lord to wash us by his word and by his spirit and by the blood of Jesus, to transform our characters from one that is self-centered to one that is other-centered. First centered on him and then centered on those around us. And so God put us in families to learn to love. Now, 2 o'clock in the morning when the baby cries and screams, do you feel like love? Probably the mother feels closer because she gave birth to this little bundle. But there's a drawing, and how people can do what they do to their children and so on is beyond me. I understand discipline. I got that, and I gave that. I understand what that's all about and the need for it. But God has put us in a family association to learn by the things that we do and say, to learn to love and how to express it. God has also put us in a church family. He is the head. And we are the body of Christ in Dexterville. Husbands, if your wife does not respond in love and cooperation, how well does it go? Not a good thing, is it? Either way, it doesn't work well, does it? And in our relationship with Jesus and our relationship in the church family, it has to be the same. And it's only, now does that remove discipline? No. Because the Bible says he who spares the rod hates his son. I could tell you an experience, but I won't take the time, about how I tried to discipline one of my boys. And there was sympathy in the family for him. And I knew that because I backed down that I would see the behavior again. And his misbehavior was encouraged because he was sympathized with. And the behavior came again. And I had prayed for 3 weeks for the Lord to give me another method to deal with it. And he never gave it to me until I needed it. And then he gave it. And it worked. The Lord's plans always work. But because the discipline didn't take place, and but because it was attempted and the rest of the family sympathized, it strengthened the problem. As a church family, we have a responsibility to love. We have a responsibility to give correction when it's appropriate and in the right methods and the right time and by the right ones and all those kinds of things. And without it, we have undisciplined children in the church. And what happens? We don't really have a church anymore. We just have whatever. This morning, I'm going to finish with another commitment. You and I have been called by the Lord Jesus Christ to be a part of his remnant church. And the Dexterville church is his remnant church in Dexterville. Ellen White makes a statement about the church. She says, as enfeebled and defective as it is still the only object on earth upon which Christ bestows his supreme regard. He gave his life for us. Yeah, he gave his life for everybody, but it says he gave his life for his church. And just as we take vows in marriage and need to live up to them, we take vows when we become a part of the church and we need to live up to them. Can we do it on our own? No. We cannot engender righteousness or the character of love for one another and the proper love for God on our own. It's an impossibility. But as we walk with Jesus, we listen to his love to us and return it, then we can give love to one another. And we can give the proper discipline and take whatever actions have to be taken. And then go forward as a family, united in Christ and in the truths that he's given us. It's only as we're united that God can use us as he would like. And if we begin to equivocate on what God has given us as a people, then we're causing disunity and disharmony that will stifle the work of the church. And it's only as we move ahead together, committed to one another and faithful to one another and faithful to the counsel that God gives us, that we can do the work that he's given us to do, to reach the area around here with the messages of for these last days. So, our commitment. Do you believe that Jesus gave his life for you and to save you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he has given you his word and his counsels to help you in your walk with him? Do you believe that he's given you the Seventh Adventist Church as his remnant church to be a part of? Is it your purpose to live by the counsel that God has given us in his word and through his church? And to be faithful to Jesus. Is that your determination? I would encourage you, if you did not have the courage to audibly speak it, that in your personal devotions that you renew those commitments to Jesus and to his body, to love, honor, cherish, be a part of whatever discipline has to take place, and to be faithful to what God has called us to do. If the devil can get the world to think about a false sentimental form of love, we should be able, by the grace of God, to take the true form of love and by his grace learn to practice it at home, in the church, and in our preparations to meet Jesus. Our closing hymn is number 652, Love at Home. And by that I mean both homes, your family home and your church family home. Number 652, Love at Home.